Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This debate is over. I am the GOAT.
But let me ask you this. What does the word goat mean to you anyway? What makes a goat? Is it the rings? Is it the stats? Is it the style? No, it's the story. There's nothing more powerful than a good story. And who has a better story than Paul Pierce?
What?
Paul Pierce not only has a championship ring and was a 10-time All-Star, but he did it all after being stabbed. He once hit a game-winning bank shot, and when asked if he called bank, he said, "I called game." Crippled man, who became the most interesting maester in the Mediadel, when he had the courage to say he was better than Dwayne Wade.
He's right. Kyrie's right about something. That shot over Al Harrington was all time.
To Paul Pierce, the true GOAT.
Oh my God, that was amazing. Welcome to The Jump. I am Rachel Nichols. That's NBA champ Richard Jefferson. But on the end, it's the GOAT of Game of Zones, Mr. Paul the Truth Pearson. Gotta shout out Adam and Craig Malamud and the entire Game of Zones staff. An incredible run. Paul, what was your reaction to the final episode?
They got it right, Rachel. Come on now. That was the perfect ending. I mean, what better ending than crowning me the GOAT? Come on.
I agree. The way they told that story, I just don't see any other way. I think it had a better ending than Game of Thrones, the actual Game of Thrones. So, I think it's great.
That's a low bar, Richard, but I'm with you. Absolutely. Congratulations, Paul. Wear your crown proudly. Coming up, LeBron broke down his 2008 Olympic Redeem Team and how it would fare in a hypothetical matchup with the 92 Dream Team. Really interesting conversation. We're going to get Richard and Paul's picks as well. First, though, do you remember back in January when Kyrie Irving said it was, quote, transparent and, quote, glaring that the Nets needed different pieces to get to the next level? Well, Stephen Bondi from the New York Daily News reports Brooklyn is indeed having internal talks on finding a third star to play alongside KD and Kyrie. And the player they are eyeing? Bradley Beal. Now remember, Beal just signed a $72 million extension last summer, which means he can't even be traded until the offseason, and we don't even know when the offseason is. And Washington has said several times they don't want to trade him even once they can. So really, this comes down to Beal, guys. He has been saying for more than a year he is committed to staying in D.C. It's been against a bunch of other hypothetical options, so he just says, yeah, I want to stay. But Richard, do you think that the specific lure of playing on a super team with KD and Kyrie would be enough to spur him to ask for a trade? Because that's really the only way I even see a chance of this happening.
Look, no player, but a lot of players, after you spend a ton of time with one team, you start to dream about ending your career there. But ultimately, I think the Washington Wizards have had their run. So Bradley Beal has gotten his money. He got his extension. And so if he has an opportunity to go and play for a championship level team in the Eastern Conference in New York, and I'm not even just talking about Brooklyn, but just in general, I think that's something he should take a very, very hard look at. And I think he would probably be well served to get out of D.C.
But usually when those rumors come about, they're hard to kind of like pass. And, like you said, Richard, I do believe that his time is up in Washington. I mean, he's been an all-star. He's made a lot of money. So I think at this point in his career, he wants to win. So if he goes out and demands trade, it's not like the Washington Wizards are like selling out anyway. So, you know, to lose a superstar would be very detrimental. But, you know, for him to get to Brooklyn, that's something he has to think long and hard about, I believe, because, you know, like I said, he has the money. He's been in the All-Star game. What more does he want? I believe he wants to win a championship, and that gives him his best opportunity.
Yeah, I mean, guys, the Wizards aren't going to want to do this, right? I mean, the idea of John Wall coming back, having Bradley Beal, the way he's blossomed even more over the last season, that is certainly a building block for them. But it's really up to Bradley Beal to decide, okay, do I want to try again with John Wall? John's going to come back, and there's going to be a little bit of feeling out of who gets the ball when, right? Things have changed since John Wall last played. And he has said over and over, and Brad's had the chance to bail on the Wizards, and no one's certainly pushing him out the door. But it's one thing to sit there and say, oh, do I want to be on the trading block for the next 3 or 4 months, or should I sign this extension and have that just be kind of in the air? Versus, do I want to go play with Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving in New York on a team that has a good chance to win the East? So I think that specific, if it does come about, is going to be interesting to see if he decides maybe now is when I can weigh two specific options and pick one. All right, guys, we got to talk about The Last Dance because sadly we're about to get into a weekend with no Last Dance. But what if I told you there was even more ground to cover from MJ's incredible career? I can't quite do the 30 for 30 voice. I tried. This meme has been floating around NBA Twitter. Oh, yes. Wizards MJ with the caption, can't wait for episodes 11 and 12 next week. Guys, there's no episodes 11 and 12, which kind of brings up the point. It's amazing how MJ has hypnotized the world to just forget about his time in D.C. It's not like he was there for a cup of coffee. Michael spent 3 seasons with the Wizards organization. He averaged 20 points per game at age 40. Paul, you are a Wizard. Why doesn't anyone ever include his Wizards years, the good and the bad, when talking about his career?
Well, obviously, all his glory was with Chicago, but Jordan at 40 was a problem. I'm going to tell you firsthand. I had a chance to play against him, watch the Wizards, Jordan. He was definitely an all-star. He could definitely still get buckets in, but you know, at the height of his career, he was a Bull, and that's all he wants to be remembered as. And, you know, this generation don't even remember he even played for the Wizards. You know, I remember because I played against him. I didn't play against Michael Jordan, Chicago Bull Jordan. So, you know, this generation don't even know he played for the Wizards. And he wants to leave that behind because, you know, it was just more of a like, you know, I still want to show the young guys what I could do at age 40.
Well, and every part of his career has been mythical, from, you know, college, winning, hitting the championship shot, rookie of the year, scoring title, elevating himself to the biggest athlete on the planet, one of the biggest athletes this world has ever seen. So even the Washington Wizards, you go back, he's the first player over 40 to score 40 points, and he had 40 and scored 50 when he was 40 years old. And he averaged 20 points a game. He played 82 games, I believe, 1 year in that stretch. So I just look, everything he did was mythical. That was just an addition, but really where he captured everyone's hearts and mind and became the MJ is the Chicago year. So yes, there is another chapter in that book, and the chapter is pretty damn good, but it's nothing like the original.
Right.
I just think it should be included only because when you talk to him while he was playing for the Wizards, his reasons for coming back, I thought were pretty interesting and instructive for athletes. We all sort of watching, we want that last shot against Utah to be the shot, the ending, the walk-off home run, the perfect shot. And when you talk to Michael Jordan later, it turns out that his perfect ending was to be able to keep playing while he could, that he loved basketball so much. He missed it so much when he was away. He found nothing else that felt as competitive or alive to him. And the idea of getting to play it out until the very end, in the end, he figured out, was more important to him than walking off with that walk-off against Utah. And I always think that's now interesting when we're talking about guys finishing their career. Vince Carter basically took this approach. He was like, oh, I'm going to play till the end. I'm going to play until I absolutely can't anymore. And I'm going to go play with teams where I can really get playing time as opposed to maybe being a decoration on the end of the bench for a championship, because my perfect ending is wanting to play. So I think we should talk about the Wizards. That's all I'm saying. Sometimes, occasionally. Big surprise. All right, guys, before we go to break, I want to take a moment to celebrate the life and mourn the passing of Jerry Sloan, who died this morning at the age of 78 after a battle with Parkinson's disease and dementia. You know, in a league that often values style, Jerry Sloan, he was the substance. He was consistent. He was straightforward. And he was simply damn good at basketball. First as a player with the Bulls, Sloan was a rock. He was a first-team all-defense four times. He was an all-star twice. And when he retired after an 11-year career, he was the first to have his number retired by the Bulls. It's as a coach, though, that most of today's fans remember him best. For 23 years, come rain or shine, rebuilding or playoff runs, Jerry Sloan was there. He and Greg Popovich are the only coaches to win more than 1,000 games with just one team. And oh, what games they so often were. Sloan was elected to the Naismith Memorial Hall of Fame in 2009. And here's our Shelley Smith with more on a man we won't soon forget.
While many will connect Hall of Fame basketball coach Jerry Sloan with the Utah Jazz, the coach always considered himself a farmer first and applied that same work ethic throughout his career. After winning two Division II titles at the University of Evansville, the Baltimore Bullets selected him fourth overall in the 1965 draft. Joining the expansion team in Chicago in 1966, Sloan became a guard known for his tenacious defense that scored more than 10,000 points with the Bulls in 10 seasons.
Sloan tries to knock it away. Beard, Woodfield goes shooting out this time, and again it is Sloan on those boards. One of the most aggressive rebounding guards in the NBA.
He retired in 1976, and a few months later, he returned to Evansville as a head coach, but resigned after 5 days, citing personal reasons. 8 months later, the team's plane crashed after takeoff, killing all aboard. In 1979, he earned his first head coaching job, taking over the Bulls. Sloan coached Chicago to the playoffs in his second season, but was dismissed after a slow start in his third year. In 1985, he headed west to Utah as Frank Layden's assistant. 4 years later, he took over mid-season as head coach. Sloan would produce 16 straight winning seasons, 15 straight playoff appearances, and helped make the combination of Karl Malone and John Stockton into one of the NBA's most potent scoring duos.
He scores! Stockton to Malone!
The Jazz won the Western Conference titles in 1997 and 1998, but ran into the buzzsaw that was Michael Jordan and the Bulls.
Everybody likes to win one, but to come and compete after losing the first one and come back and compete for the next one, to me, is one of the most rewarding things you can do, even though we didn't win.
He won 1,223 regular season and playoff games over 23 seasons with the Jazz, and finally called it quits in 2011, amid reports of personality issues with Deron Williams, a charge both of whom downplayed. Through it all, he kept his dry sense of humor, collected an array of tractors and antiques. He also attended as many Jazz games as he could, always greeting fans with interest and charm.
From my beginning in McLeansboro, the game of basketball has introduced me to opportunities and life experiences I never dreamed. I love this game and will always be grateful for what it has given me.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
GEICO has the insurance industry-leading app that lets you manage your policy anytime, anywhere, which means that GEICO is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like animal control, when you're cornered in your garage by an angry possum.
Hi, me again. You guys said you would be here about an hour ago, and I think the possum is starting to get angry. Listen, I thought if I fed it, it would go away, but now it is ripping holes in the drywall and making some sort of nest. Just call me back.
GEICO, always there for you with savings and the industry-leading mobile app.
Sunday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific, we premiere part one of our 30 for 30 film about Lance Armstrong, a fascinating, revealing, comprehensive chronicle about one of the most inspirational and then infamous athletes of all time. And right now here on The Jump, the best of MJ and Scotty connections.
Ball tapped loose from Elo, and here comes Jordan. Behind the back, what a play! What a play! Pippen was just going to beat a trailer. He cleared out. Michael gave him a great pass. Layup, Scotty.
Wow, this thing isn't over. Pippen gets it to Jordan. Michael
challenges and scores.
Look at this, tongue out over Alonzo Mourning. Yes! And after he comes down, he says,
Michael. Mourning's going to go down low to Spencer, and Jordan picked it off. Behind the back, Pippen. Oh, yes, sir! Wow! Pippen down the floor with Michael behind the back, a hammer. That's what they come here for.
Michael in transition.
Oh, nice! Lost the Pippen. Whoa, what? Yes, sir. Michael down the lane, a blind pass, and his teammate hammers it down.
$25 from McDonald's at Charitables every time a Bull slam dunks in tonight's game.
Wingfield comes in. Sabonis is down.
4 seconds remaining. Blind pass. Hopkins is short. But Pippen, and Pippen puts it in. Michael got it to him, and flips it behind half court. Banks it off the iron.
Ruffin penetrating. Longley swats it away.
Oh! Sensational feed to Pippen.
Beautifully done. Caught. Turned around in the air. Found Pip. Steal for Michael. Slam for Scott.
The Bulls have doubled up the 76ers in the early going.
1.5 seconds left. Down the floor. Michael.
Saves it to Pippen. It's a 3-on-1 with only Best back. And Pippen slaps on his face. Plus the foul.
Oh, this was unbelievable. Look at Scotty Pippen with the wingspan and the long arm. And Travis Best, nothing he can do. He even tried to take the foul.
Oh, my, my. Professor Michael Bodmer always cooks us up some good ones. All right, I want to shift gears just a little bit because LeBron was talking the other night about the idea of the 1992 Dream Team facing off against his 2008 Redeem Team. This is courtesy of our friends at Uninterrupted. Take a look.
One thing about the 92 team, they had a lot of grown-ass strong men. Like those guys be lifting cars. Like, you, those guys are like brute strong, you know? But one thing about the 08 team, we got a lot of wiggle to our game. You know what I'm saying? We got a lot of wiggle. So I look at, you know, J. Kidd, you know, matched up. Because our starting lineup was J. Kidd. It had been J. Kidd versus, you know, Magic. And then Kobe versus MJ. Myself versus Scotty. Melo versus Barkley. Dwight versus Pat. I fight MJ and Kobe. You know, we got to, you know, they gonna have their own little game in between the game. MJ and Kobe going to have their own little game. It ain't going to be 5-on-5. It's going to be 1-on-1, 4-on-4.
With them, you know, two guys, you're going to need a stick to break them up.
Right.
Oh, that would have been good. All right. LeBron said the Dream Team could lift cars. Right? Look. I guess he wasn't lying. Richard, who wins between these gold medal winners? Who do you got?
It's not even close. Like, this is, like, look, Bron's my guy. But J. Kidd was 400 years old when he was on that team. Don't compare him to the John Stockton in his prime. Now, J. Kidd in his prime, yes, was a bad man. But at the end of the day, if you compare championships, if you compare all-stars, if you compare MVPs, and now, mind you, Chris Paul, Carmelo, and LeBron are still playing, so those numbers will continue to increase if you're looking at all-stars and stuff like that. But that Dream Team is the greatest team ever assembled, and it's the greatest team that ever will be assembled. It's just the cold hard fact. We're talking about David Robinson, and the one guy on the Dream Team that's not in the Hall of Fame is Christian Laettner, that makes an argument for the greatest college career of all time. So the one guy that was on the team before he got to the NBA, is the only one that's not in the Hall of Fame, and the 08 team doesn't have that.
You know what? I just stop at the top three on each side. When I look at the 08 team, you got Kobe, LeBron, and probably D Wade as their top three. And then I go to the other side in 92, Magic, Bird, Jordan.
Yeah.
What more do I need to say after that?
Magic, Bird, and Jordan. They wouldn't get blown out. That's not a disrespect. But in a best of, let's say best of seven, not even in the Olympics format. In a best of seven, I say it's 4-2.
There you go. Respectable. I mean, look, Kobe, LeBron, Wade, that's a respectable top three until you say, Paul, Jordan, Magic.
It's respectable,
and there we go.
Like I said, Magic, Bird, Jordan. Come on.
Oh, boy. All right, we got to take another quick break. But first, today's distant replay comes from this date in 2009 featuring LeBron and his very first playoff buzzer beater. Watch this. It's going to come back to you in the next segment.
Rashard Lewis playing off the ball. Lewis gets it to LeBron for three for the win. Yes! LeBron James at the buzzer! As the Cavaliers have moved it out to tie the series, and what a miraculous shot by James!
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school, or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Coming up on ESPN at 4 Eastern is Jalen and Jacoby, highly questionable around their horn follow, and SportsCenter is on at 5 with the PTI guys joining at 5:30. And as you saw on our distant replay last segment, this date in 2009 marks LeBron's first career game-winning buzzer beater. So that got us thinking, guys, about situational basketball. Hypothetically, last shot, game on the line. Paul, current NBA player, who do you want taking that shot right now if you could have anyone?
Oh, man, that's an easy call. None other than Kevin Durant. Come on now. We talking about a 6'10", 6'11", guy who can get his shot off on anybody. He can put it on the ground, get to the basket, athletic enough to go in there and dunk on you with unlimited range. It's no question it's Kevin Durant. Easy money sniper all day long.
Well, we're going to differ, but we're going to go back to the Brooklyn Nets, who both me and Paul played for. I'm going to say Kyrie Irving. Kyrie Irving has hit the biggest shot in the last 10 years. You name one player. I would even say you look at the Kawhi Leonard
Kawhi
shot.
Kawhi Leonard
shot,
just hit a game winner last year. What are you talking about?
That game,
yeah, that
game
round,
was for
Paul.
The conference finals. That game wasn't even in the conference finals, right? So it wasn't in the conference finals, and a game would have gone to overtime. Kyrie hit the biggest shot to win a championship. And the last great shot like
Richard,
that, I would
Richard,
say was Ray
look
Allen.
At the actual numbers. Ty, you got to put the numbers up on the screen.
Oh, I look,
you keep
I,
making
you
your
asked me
case
a question.
For
you didn't
Kyrie.
Ask me who the
LeBron
percentages
LeBron James has
were.
The best numbers.
You didn't say that. I said Kyrie. And Kyrie hit a shot to win the championship. So, like, I'm going to go with Kyrie. That's me.
Bye, guys. Have a great weekend.